You know, a Sunday school teacher asked her class why Joseph and Mary took Jesus with them to Jerusalem. A small child replied, they couldn't get a babysitter. And here's just a little thought. Adults are always asking kids what they want to be when they grow up because they're looking for ideas. And then Harry walked over to the priest after service. You know, Father, I'm really stuck in a quandary. I would like to attend the next church next week, but I just can't miss the big game on Sunday. It's just out of the question. Oh, Harry, Harry, said the priest, putting his arm around Harry. Don't you know that's what recorders are for? Harry's face lit up. You mean I could record your sermon? Amen. Well, you know, praise God that we can be here today. Because you know what? You're about to hear the incorruptible word of God. Amen. And I want you to say this with me. Say, as I hear
these qualities
of the love of God, love will come to my heart.
It will expand.
It will increase, and it will grow in my life. I will become a better lover. In Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that? Well, you know, the love of God, we've been talking about love as a sure foundation. And 1 John 4, 8 and verse 16 tells us that God is love. And I brought out, you know, I've been putting in the bulletin qualities of God that are everlasting. And if love is to be a sure foundation and God is love, then he has to have everlasting qualities, and he does. And I'm not going to go into those right now, but I want to talk to you about some qualities of the love of God, all right? And here's a summary, and then we'll look to some scriptures. You know, love is eternally enduring. Love is truthful. Love preserves life. Love saves people. Love is worth trusting in, believing in, and confidently continuing in. Love is merciful and gracious. Love inspires rejoicing. Love is good and ready to forgive. Love has an abundance of mercy and loving kindness to all who call upon him. Love always exemplifies the fruit of the Spirit. Love holds people accountable. Love is either accepted or rejected. Love makes allowances for people. Love brings you into God's family. It heals all hurts. It strengthens the weak. It opens blind eyes. It delivers from evil. It casts fear out of your life. It calls you by name, and it knows you better than anyone. God is love. And here are some things that on the other side of love, love does not control. Love cannot fail. Love does not harm intentionally. Love does not manipulate, coerce, or force its way on others. Love does not cheat or lie. Go with me to Psalm 86. Psalm 86, and I just want to talk to you today about some qualities of the love of God. You ready to hear some of these qualities?
Amen.
Psalm 86 in verses 1 through 5, It says, bow down your ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul. See, love preserves. Love is a preservative. It's a preservative that actually lasts longer than any other preservative. It won't bring you harm. For I am holy. O thou my God, save your servant that trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry unto you daily. Rejoice the soul of your servant unto you. O Lord, do I lift my soul. For you, Lord, are good, ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon you. See, if you want mercy, it's there for you, but you got to call upon it. Amen? And God's mercy is there. So we see some qualities of love here. Love preserves life. Love saves. You can trust in it. You can believe in it. You can commit to it. And go to verses 15 and 16. But you, Lord, are a God full of compassion. Aren't you glad that God is full of compassion? Did you know that it was his compassion that would move him into action to heal people? The Bible talks about in the New Testament how God was moved with compassion, and then he began to heal people. He began to work in their life. You know, compassion is a key that connects you with people. It wants to help people. It wants to bless people. And compassion is a key component in the love of God. Full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering. So if you want to be a person of love, that means you're going to have to be a person who suffers long. How long did God put up with us? How long did it take for us to get our act together? I mean, God waited for years for some of us. Amen? And he was patient. He was gracious. He put his goodness before you, and it was his goodness that was leading you to repentance. And he was drawing you to himself until that day when you connected and you were drawn, you drew. Amen? And you accepted Jesus Christ. But it was God's goodness that was working in you. I mean, think about the patience that God has had with us. Long time. And you know, we look for excuses to fly off the handle. But you're going to hear qualities of love today, and you're going to get better and better. Amen. Amen? Plenteous in mercy and truth, verse 16, turn to me and have mercy upon me. Give your strength to your servant. Save the son of your handmaid. Let's go to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. This is a great description. How many know that, you know, Moses got firsthand information about what love was like? How did he do that? Because God would talk to Moses as a man talks to his friend. Can you imagine Moses' job? His job every day was to show up in the tabernacle. And he'd come out of his tent, he'd get dressed, and he'd walk into the tabernacle. While he was going to work, everybody in the camp was standing up. And he'd go into that tent, and they'd see the cloud settle on that tabernacle. That cloud was the glory of God. That cloud was the presence of God. That cloud was God himself descending. And there, Moses and God would have conversations. They'd have fellowship. They'd have intimacy. Maybe they cracked jokes. I don't know. I mean, God's a fun God. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But how many know, when you're hanging out with your friend, do you crack jokes with your friend? So here was Moses. Moses got to talk to God face to face as a man talks to his friend. And Moses would be in the presence there. And him and God would be talking. They'd be solving the problems of the camp. And you know, God would speak to Moses. He would tell him when to go, where to go. Timing was important. And Moses determined in his heart that he wasn't going to move unless God was going to go with him. And Moses had a desire to see God's glory. He wanted to see more of God. So God said, okay, I'm going to show you a little more. And in Exodus 34, let's go to verse 5. We're going to read verses 5 to 9. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And guess what? Just as God stood with Moses, he stands with you too.
Amen?
Amen? He'll stand with anybody that has faith in him.
Amen.
Verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. Okay? It's like God was doing this. He's running before Moses. He puts his hand in and he starts proclaiming things. How many know God's a proclaimer? God's a speaker. God is, he's an announcer. He likes to declare things before he ever does them, because that's how he operates. So he's running by Moses, and he passes by before him, and he proclaims, the Lord, the Lord. He's about to show Moses some of his qualities, some of his characteristics that define who he is. And he says, merciful and gracious. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you know someone is operating in love when they are merciful and gracious. Did you know that our God is a gracious God? How many's ever messed up? We all have messed up. That's why I raised both hands. Now, when we mess up, did God tell us how bad we were? Or did God tell us how much he loves us? Now, when God corrects, he corrects us very gently. I mean, he could correct us harshly, right? Okay? When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, you obey the commandments. He said, phew, I've done that. Yeah. But there was one thing in the ruler's life that was keeping him from a relationship with the Lord. It was his love for stuff. God didn't say how bad he was, but he said, I'll tell you what, if you really want to follow me, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, sell all your stuff, give it away, and then give it to the poor, and then come follow me. You see how gentle that was? That was an opportunity that Jesus gave this ruler. Why? Because he loved him. He gave him an opportunity. Now, Jesus could have tackled him, and he could have said, you're going to follow me whether you like it or not. I mean, can you see Jesus getting him in a headlock? You know, Jesus has got the rich young ruler in the headlock. He says, you're going to follow me. And the rich young ruler says, well, I am because I'm in a headlock. That's not how love operates. Why? Love is merciful. Love is gracious. He gave that rich ruler an opportunity. But now the rich young ruler didn't receive the opportunity, did he? The Bible says he walked away sorrowful. Why? Because he loved his stuff more than the Lord. See, here's the thing. When you truly love someone as God loves us, okay, let me tell it to you this way. God loved us so much that he moved heaven and earth to get close to us. He left heaven to come and be in a body like you and I have a body.
Amen.
He went through the process of being birthed. He had to wear diapers. He felt weariness, sorrow, all this stuff. He came out of heaven. He moved heaven and earth because he loved us so much. He had such mercy and such compassion for us. It moved him to action. See, if you want to be a person of love, you got to, see, love, it screams to express itself. And it will express itself because love has to be expressed. So love is merciful and gracious. Next thing he says, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Well, do we need to define long suffering? Long. When you think you've had just about enough of this, maybe you could take a little more. I just can't believe it. I've had enough of this. Well, maybe pray about it more. Pray about that person that's annoying you more. Long-suffering has to do with our relationship with people. Patience has to do with things that we can't control. Long-suffering has to do with relationships. And how many know God has suffered long for us? I mean, if God was keeping track and we get born again, he would say, it's about time. But thank God he doesn't do that. I mean, God doesn't say, do you know how many years I have waited for you to make this decision? He doesn't do that. Because he suffers long. He's abundant in goodness. Let me tell you something. Anything good in your life can be traced back to God. Anything bad in your life can be traced to the devil. God does not use bad things to teach us. He's got better tools than that. He's a good God. He's abundant in goodness and truth. These are qualities of love. This is the love of God that's been shed abroad in our heart. We can, when we hear about these qualities, we can have faith in these qualities for them to operate in us more. Amen. Don't blame your temper on your heritage. I mean, okay. Some people say, I act that way because I'm Irish. You being Irish has nothing to do with it. Come on. We want to, when our flesh gets out of control, we want to blame something else as to why it's out of control. But really, it's flesh. Okay, let's move on. Look at verse 7. Keeping mercy for thousands, for thousands. Do you realize God has an open door? He allows people, as far as time goes, I mean, God doesn't operate by time, but we do. As far as time goes, he gives people a long window of opportunity to come to him. Now, there are times when that window closes, like it did for Judas. When he sat next to Jesus at the Last Supper, and Jesus looked at him and said, Judas, what you do, do quickly. Judas's time had run out. I mean, Judas had been with Jesus for how many, you know, Jesus' ministry was for 3.5 years. So however long in that 3.5 years Judas followed Jesus, I mean, he became the treasurer of Jesus's ministry. But yet, he never allowed the love that he saw demonstrated get into him. Because he was so quick, he was so willing to betray love. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. How many has benefited from God's forgiveness? Woo! Thank God. Because I don't know about you, but I have messed up in my life. I have done stupid things. I have done wrong things. I have done things knowing that I shouldn't do them. But thank God for his forgiveness. His forgiveness is available, and all you've got to do is come and ask him. Amen. If you mess up, you can confess your sin to him, and he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Not only does he forgive you, but he washes you clean. You become squeaky clean. Amen. These are qualities of love. Love has various qualities. It's very diverse. Now notice, look at the end of that verse, and will by no means clear the guilty. How many know God does not clear the guilty? A person who never repents does not benefit from the forgiveness that they have been given. God doesn't clear the guilty. Why was Israel allowed to take over the promised land? Because there were nations there who practiced idolatry, who practiced sorcery, who practiced things that were ungodly, and they never changed. They refused to change. They didn't change their ways. So what happened? God cleared, they were guilty. And so God caused Israel to destroy them. And there were times in the Old Testament God would say, destroy them, wipe them out. He doesn't clear the guilty. But if you're guilty, you've got to repent. The way to get cleared as a guilty person is to repent. Amen. But refusing to repent will cause punishment to come. God chose Jonah to go where? What was going to happen to Nineveh? They were going to be destroyed. But, see, God is merciful and gracious. Before destruction comes, God will always send mercy and grace before destruction. Destruction can't come unless mercy and grace show up first. Mercy and grace are the first visitors. They prepare the way for destruction to come or not to come. And God extended his mercy to Nineveh by sending Jonah. And Jonah went after a little persuasion. And he declared to Nineveh that in 40 days, this city is going to be destroyed. What happened? Nineveh heard the message, and they repented. From the king to everybody to the animals. He said, we're not going to eat for 3 days. We're going to repent and wear sackcloth. He stepped off the throne. He took off his robe, and he repented, and God did not destroy the city. It wasn't God who changed, it was the people who changed. So, if you think, listen, some of the minor prophets got upset because people who were acting ungodly were prospering. I can't believe those people are earning, they're getting all this money and they don't even serve God. You know, Habakkuk was one of them. He was upset that the people were prospering. Well, you know what? If a person gains the whole world and loses his soul, what has he gained? If the world can prosper all it wants to, but if it doesn't change its ways at the end, they're going to lose. And we're going to win. So don't be so envious of the world. Amen? You just be strong with God. Go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Another very good quality of love is that it is reproducible. Aren't you glad? You know, I thought about this, and how many's ever been to a McDonald's, a Burger King, or a Wendy's? All right? Isn't it interesting how you can go all over the world and find a McDonald's somewhere? Why is that? Because they've developed a process that is reproducible, duplicatable. You could take the concept of McDonald's that was started here, you could take it here, 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 and here, and it'll work because it's reproducible. Because I heard at one time, I don't know if it's true anymore, but I had read somewhere that you're guaranteed to make a profit if you own a McDonald's within 5 years or they'll buy it back from you. I don't know if that's true now, but that was something that I read. So God's love is reproducible. You can take God's love that comes from heaven and you can actually do it here, 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 because the same process works. Amen? It works by faith. John 13 verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. How? That tells me that the same love that God loves us with, we can take that love and share it with someone else. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. So God doesn't expect you to love people on your own accord. He just wants you to be a copper wire that his love can flow through. How many want to be a conduit of God's love? Amen. A conduit just means it's a conductor. Copper is a good conductor. It allows electricity to pass through without any tolls. You can, once it's connected properly, hey, oh, hallelujah, that'll preach. You got to be connected to God. If you want to be a conduit for God, you got to be connected to God. You got to be in where God is moving, what he's doing. You can't miss out. And once you're connected, God's always got the switch turned on. And as a conduit, God's love will just flow through you like electricity flows through a copper wire. You can turn it on, you can turn it off, but the capability of the electricity flowing through there is still there. The only time that the electricity doesn't flow is when there's a short circuit. What causes short circuits in our life? Sin. Sin causes us to short circuit from God's power. All right? But you know what? I love God. Just because you mess up, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world. If you mess up, you're not condemned. God will help you change if you're willing to work with him. Remember what he told Isaiah in chapter 1? He said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Amen? So sometimes, you know, God doesn't forsake you. He doesn't forsake us when we sin, but he's already given us the necessary things to do when we sin. And it's up to us to do them. Okay? Go with me to John 15, verses 9 through 14. John 15, verse 9. Notice how Jesus loved us. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. The very love that God had for Jesus is the very love that Jesus had for us, is the very love that we can have for others. Isn't that awesome how that works? Because love is reproducible. Continue in my love. Why would Jesus have to tell us to continue in his love? Does everybody continue in his love? No. There's a lot of people that say, they're on the love train, and they say, stop the train, I want to get off. Anybody can get out of love anytime that they want to. It's like getting in and out of your car. You can get in anytime you want, you can get out anytime you want. It's your choice. But Jesus said, continue in my love. If we continue in his love automatically, he wouldn't have to say that. Because love is a choice. All right? Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So, how does God transfer his love to us? He gave us the love manual. This is the best love book that has ever been written. Why? It was written by love, in love, for love. Amen. This is God's love letter to you. So, how we love each other has to do with how we keep his commandments. Amen. He said, why did he say if? Because not everybody keeps his commandments. If you keep whose commandments? My commandments. You shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So how did Jesus stay in the love of God? He stayed in the commandments of God. When you stay in the word, you'll stay in love. When you get out of the word into opinions, feelings, emotions, and other things, you get out of love. The only way to abide in love is to abide in his commandments. And the only way for you to abide in his commandments is for his commandments to get in your heart. Okay? Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy is full. Oh, when his joy is in you, your joy is going to be off the charts. Amen? In order to have full joy, his joy has got to be there. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Once again, he's showing us the duplication. Verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So how do you become a friend of God? Do what he says. Just do what he says. How'd you become God's friend? I did what he said. It's that easy? Yeah, it's that easy. God makes friends with people who do his word. Isn't that awesome? So love is intense. You know, God's love is intense for you. It's duplicatable. Go to John 17, verses 25 and 26. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. And I have declared unto them your name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. God wants his love in you. Another quality of love is that it can be in us. It's something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. You know, when God wants to do things, he does things inside out. Amen. He doesn't do things outside in. Now, we want to take an old barn and put paint on it and make it look good. But what about the structure of the barn on the inside? Everybody can see the new paint, but they can't see what's on the inside. And love has got to get in you. When love comes out of you, you know it's in you. If love is not coming out of you, then it's not in you. When you're thirsty, what do? You get a drink, right? And here in America, it's really easy to get a drink. You don't have to go to a well. You don't have to let down a bucket. You know, you just go to the faucet. Or you go to the refrigerator, or you go wherever. It's very easy. Satisfying our thirst is very accessible here. Well, God wants his love in us. In other words, he designed you to be a container for his love. And he wants to take the container, and when he sees someone in need, all right? He takes the container and he dumps it out. You know, maybe it's a trickle or maybe it's a super splash, but he takes the container that contains his love and he pours it out. You know, even Jesus himself said, I am poured out like a drink offering. And I don't think we sang it today, pour your love on me. Okay. Pour your love on me. Love is meant to be poured. Some people need a fire hose. Some people need to be doused with the love of God. Amen. Did you know that you can silence your enemies through acts of kindness? You can actually silence your enemies by being good to them. Okay? Love is in us. Say God's love is in me. How do you prove that? Are you doing what he says? That's how you prove it. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verses 5 through 8. This is powerful. Romans 5, 5 through 8. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Whew. You don't have to be ashamed of having hope in God. Why? Because there's been a love shed abroad in your heart by who? By the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, He will help you live love out in your life. He is God's writer. He'll take and write God's words on your heart. Because when they're on your heart, they will come out in your life. They'll come out in your actions. They'll come out in your speech. They'll come out, you know, you can't hide whether you're in love or not. There are things that love does, and there are things that love does not do. If you're holding on to your hurts, you are not in love, because love does not hold on to its hurts. Read 1 Corinthians 13. Love is the very thing that will free you from those hurts. Love will heal those hurts. Love will mend those hurts. Love will take those ashes and make something beautiful out of them. But isn't that awesome? How hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were away from God, God took specific action to bring us to him. God does not force his way on us. God will never force anybody to come to church. God will never force anybody to get healed. God doesn't force anybody to get saved. We know that because there are people in this world who are not saved. If God was a forcer, you know, God's not an enforcer. He's not like a bouncer. I let you in or I keep you out. But see, here's what love does. Love operates in goodness and mercy. Love creates something that's so wonderful and so awesome, and it says here. It's like going over to someone's house and they made you the most favorite meal that you like. And I mean, they cooked it perfectly, you know? And when you walked into the room, I mean, just the aromas of your favorite dish just overwhelmed you. This is what God's love does. When you come into God's house, when you come into God, his love just overwhelms you. There's an aroma to love. And you sit down and you already know what's been cooking because you're familiar with the aroma. I mean, it's your favorite dish. You know exactly what it smells like. And you sit down and love says, here, I have prepared this for you. And you're sitting at the table, and they serve you at the table. You didn't do anything for it. You didn't do anything to earn it. They're just doing it because they love you, and they've served you this meal. Now you have a choice. You can either receive what love has done for you, or you can reject what love has done for you. But this is what love does. Love makes something so wonderful, so beautiful, and it says here, but then love stops. Then it's up to you to either accept love or reject love. But love prepares something just for you. Love knows you better than anybody else. Romans 12:9, you can just put it up on the screen. It says, let love be without dissimulation. I didn't know what dissimulation was. He says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which... Dissimulation is concealment, disguise, suppression, or camouflage. In other words, love is not something that is hidden, that is secret, but love is openly displayed. If you're a person who loves people, you're going to openly display your love to them. Now, we know that you receive love and give love through five main ways: acts of service, giving, time, touch, and words of affirmation. Two of those five when they occur in your life, they energize you. They build you, they make you feel real good. And you're going to have two of those that you predominantly show to others that you love. All right? And we've got to learn to receive love. But love is not hidden. Love is not disguised. Love is not camouflaged. Love is openly displayed. I mean, when Jesus hung on the cross, was there anything hidden about that? I mean, he was up publicly on display. Why? See, love doesn't have anything to hide because love is truthful. And if you're truthful, you don't have anything to hide. Amen? You don't have to go there, but 1 Corinthians 8:1, love builds up. It says love edifies. You know, if you're always tearing down people, you're not in love. If you're always, you know, some people make themselves feel better by tearing someone else down. That is so small thinking. Love builds up. Love doesn't tear down. Love doesn't demolish. Jesus said, I've come to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Love builds. It doesn't tear down. Love builds up people. Love encourages. Love exhorts. Love cheers. Be of good cheer. I'm here. Woohoo! Yeah! For the sanguines. Sanguines are true cheerleaders. Woohoo! Yeah! I'm not a sanguine, but I know how they act. Did you know that love is a worthy pursuit? 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow after charity or follow after love. Love is a worthy pursuit. Did you know your faith works by love? Galatians 5:6, faith works by love. If you find that your faith isn't as effective, like when you believe God for something and it's not really happening, might want to check up on your love walk. Because faith works by love. And he said, there is faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is what? Love. Why didn't he say faith is the greatest? He said love is the greatest. Why? Because God is love. The Bible doesn't say that God is faith, but he operates by faith. God is light, God is truth, God is love. Turn it up to Galatians 5:13. Here's a quality of love. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love. What are we supposed to do? Serve who? Serve one another. You know, you should serve the body of Christ more than the world. In our confession, we talk about be good to those, especially to the household of faith. That's from Timothy. How many know that God puts an emphasis on his body? God, you know, God is into bodybuilding. Now, he doesn't flex his biceps or his triceps, you know, like that. But you know what? God does flex his love. How does he flex his love? By how we treat one another. Especially in this body right here, because we're part of his body. So love builds up. Go to Romans 13:10. This is a good one, Romans 13:10. I'm going quickly because I'm going to let you out early. Anybody mind not getting out early a little bit? It's a work for me, but love works no ill. Another translation says does no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Well, I have a question. I live in the country. I don't have any neighbors. Oh, yes, you do. A neighbor is any person you come in contact with. At the store, at the doctor's office, in school. You know, think about it. If drivers were full of the love of God, we'd have less road rage. But love does no ill, no harm to its neighbor, because love fulfills the law. All right, and go to Ephesians 5:2. Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love. Anytime the Bible uses the term walk, it's speaking of how you live, how you behave, how you act daily. It's not talking about a stroll down by the riverside. Walk in love, how? How should we walk in love? As Christ. So when we're walking in love, we're being Christ to someone. We're demonstrating Christ. Walk in love as Christ loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So love is a lifestyle. Love is not limited to Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday. Love is how you live. If we were to come at your house unannounced, we should see love in demonstration. Love is not something that you put on for the moment. That's called a mask. And people who wear masks hide something. In the body of Christ, we don't wear masks. We wear Christ. Look at this. I got a garment of praise for the Spirit of. I wear praiseful garments. I wear garments of light. I wear garments that are that Christ put on Christ. So, can you see these qualities of love? Love builds. Love is a worthy pursuit. Faith works by love. Love serves. You want to be a better lover? Be a better server. If you want to have a competition, try to outserve someone. That's a healthy competition. Because your reward is in heaven. You know, healthy competition means your rewards are in heaven. Because that way you can't brag about the reward now. You get it later. Besides, love doesn't brag. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 and I'm going to be done. 1 Corinthians 13. I had no plan on going here, but God did. I'm not in my notes anymore. What am I going to do? I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit. It's better to read this from the Amplified, but love suffers long. Ask yourself, how easily and quickly do you get ticked off with people? Love is kind. Isn't God kind? The Bible says several places about his loving kindness. Love does not envy. Tony, that Bible cover, man, I want that Bible cover. I don't want to get my own, I want his. That's what envy does. Love does not envy. If you like something that someone has, believe God for your own. Oh, there's a concept. Love does not vaunt itself or parade itself. Look at me, look at me, look what I've done. Love doesn't do that. Did you know love could do something and nobody give it credit, but it'll still do it? Did you know that God works behind the scenes and we don't even see him working? I mean, come on. When you go see a play, you don't praise the stagehands as much as you do the star. Because you see what the stagehands do, but you don't get to really see them. See, love is like a stagehand. It does things without letting it be seen. What I'm saying is it doesn't point the spotlight on itself. Love will do things just because it's love. Love is not puffed up. know someone that's puffed up. It's called pride. Satan got puffed up, didn't he? He got deflated pretty quick, though, too. It does not behave itself unseemly. Love does not seek its own. Uh-oh, that's mine, is it? Just because your name is on it doesn't mean it's yours. It means it's God's. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinks no evil. When someone does harm to you, the first thing you want to do is want to lay hands on them suddenly and watch them go under the power. That's thinking evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Oh yeah, I'm glad. He deserved it. Did he? Was Jesus rejoicing with the thieves that were crucified with him? But he gave them an opportunity. It was the thief who said, we should be here. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. It doesn't fail. Why? Love is a sure foundation. Put your trust in love today. Become a person who loves God and loves people. That means God has to be first in your life. He can't be second, third, or fourth. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. He's got to be number one. Amen? Well, love is here today to heal. Love is here to restore. Love is here to fix anything that's broken. Because only love can do that. Amen? And I'm done talking. Now it's the Holy Spirit's job to do the heavy lifting. God gives me the easy part. All I got to do is talk, but he does the heavy lifting. I leave the heavy lifting up to God, the anointing, his power, his goodness. Where do you need love to touch you today? Where do you need love to build you up today? Where do you need for love to strengthen you today? What do you need love to heal today? How do you need love to help today? Amen? If you have a yes to any of those questions, come up right now and receive from love. Love is here. Love is on display. Love will touch you. Love will hug you. You ever been hugged by love? Oh, it feels good. I just feel, Father, in the name of Jesus, love is going to wrap its arms around.